crack a bottle. Let your body waddle.
To wobble?
Nice. I don't have any. I can just do like... We start with ASMR.
We like to let you know you're listening to something. That the car is working.
Welcome.
Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 62. We have a special guest on today, Mr. Ludvig Persons. Persons, sorry. Swedish accent, trying to get it rolling again. First time in a couple months. Starting goalie for the University of Miami, Ohio, NCAA. Swedish guy, just outside of Gothenburg, my favorite place in the world. I'll tell you a quick little funny story, and I haven't told Ludvig this before we start. Ludvig and I were messaging this morning, and I know that he's only in his second season with Miami, Ohio. And I said to him, I said, are you thinking of transfer anytime soon? I mean, I'm sure, you know, competition is tough out there and whatnot. And he says, you know, no, things are going pretty good, Trev. I don't think I'm going to transfer. I looked after elite prospects. He played 32 games this season. I don't know shit.
Trav knows nothing.
I don't research. I don't fact check. We just go.
Well, congrats on those games.
Thank you. It's a good experience. Get to play a lot of games.
Yeah, Trav thought he was, you know, gonna big dog you until he realized how many games you played. So now he can't. So it's good. It's good for you.
Well, I had to peel back the layers, you know, kind of like Shrek and Donkey. And ogres are like onions. We're just peeling back the layers. I wanted to kind of get to know him a little bit. And I didn't know that he played 32 games in his sophomore season. I guess that's a pretty good season altogether. That's, and then 25 games last year.
Yeah, as a freshman, you played, what is it, say 18 games?
Yeah. It was COVID year, so we played.
Of course. Yeah, so you came right in and played.
Yeah.
Now, for the people listening at home, Miami, Ohio, is it in Miami or is it in Ohio?
No, it's Ohio. I mean, the weather is, it's kind of like Sweden, cold, rainy, a couple of good days with a lot of sun, but it's not Florida for sure.
It's still fun, though.
It's a lot of fun.
I went there once in college, my freshman year, and it just looks like there's a lot of... like Darties and stuff like that. There's a lot of houses along the road and stuff. It looks like it would be a fun school to go to.
Yeah, it's a lot going on all the time. So we're fortunate with that. So we, it's always easy to have a good time for sure.
Absolutely.
Speaking of good times, you single, you're taken, man. Let's get it out of the way early.
not right now.
Oh, he's a single guy. Okay. So can I ask, what is the dating pool look like? Is Tinder buzzing? How's Bumble, Hinge? There's a new app I got an ad for on TikTok the other day. It was like
Grindr.
No, not Grindr. It was like Bubbly something. I don't know. It was a new app.
No, I recently got into a relationship, so it's
He's in one. He's in a relationship, Travis.
Active right now.
You heard it wrong. Sorry. Well, we do want to know then. How did you meet? What's the story?
I mean, it's pretty simple. We were out out and about, and we met, and nothing complicated. It just happened.
It was natural.
Yeah, a night in Oxford.
That's beautiful.
So what does she do? What's her name? Tell us a little bit about her.
Oh, we're going that deep.
I want to get to know her. What's her name? Let's start off with that.
Trev, settle.
That's all I can give to you.
I do have a question. Then it's a deep question. It's a hard hitting question. I've asked some people before. So if you were out surfing with your girlfriend,
oh god,
per se, assuming you like to surf, I don't know if you do, and you were about to catch a wave, but you saw in the corner of your eye your girlfriend was about to get eaten by a shark. A shark came up on her. But you like surfing so much that you're about to go catch the wave and just ride it in. Would you stop and go save your girlfriend and sacrifice maybe yourself in the process? Or would you catch the wave and ride it in?
I mean, I'd probably save her. Obviously, that's...
An honest man. I like that. You're a gentleman. You're better than me. That's for sure. But if it was Trav, I would definitely jump off that surfboard and go save him, because we're podcast boys, you know? It's a different kind of bond.
I also can't swim, so
Oh, well, I'm not a great swimmer either, actually. I sink fast. I just never have mastered the art of swimming. It's a tough
one. I almost drowned in the Atlantic Ocean in Florida a couple of years ago, and things have never been the same since. I need a life jacket now. You know, like the water wings that kind of keep you afloat, I need some of those. The boogie board, too, like the thing that kind of floats up, too. I need all the help we can get.
Yeah, Ludwig, I think I'm pronouncing it right. Ludwig, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How are your swimming skills?
I mean, they're pretty good, decent, nothing crazy. Okay.
That's good to know.
Swimming a lot, so I feel safe and comfortable.
That's good to know. If we were out swimming and maybe like drowning, you would be there for us. So that's always good to know.
Yeah.
Lifeguard on duty.
You never know where we end up. So
absolutely. Oh.
Speaking of which, we like to get to know our guests in the podcast program. We have some questions, some signature questions, questions that maybe you don't hear on other podcasts and programming for our guest. Ludwig, are you ready for these rapid-fire Q&A questions? Not viewer-submitted. We didn't have enough time to get that up today, but I do have some questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Cheesecake or red velvet?
Cheesecake.
Shredded or cubed hash browns?
Shredded.
Do you sit or do you stand when you wipe?
I sit. Interesting.
Come on, really?
Yeah,
that's so common.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. This is so my woman and I, we've been together for coming up on 2 years now, and you learn a lot about a woman when you live with her. Like I talked about before, you learn that women do in fact poop. It happens. And this morning, honest to God, no word of a lie, she gets up. She's making a bagel, having her tea, and I'm just in the can, you know, doing things that I do, and I'm standing up. This is the downside to standing. I'm standing up, taking care of my back end, and she barges in, says, I need some chapstick.
You guys are just super comfortable with each other.
Well, and it was kind of like at an angle where, like, she got, like, a front row seat the second she opened the door, so yeah.
You guys are super comfortable. That's actually a fun topic, because like when you know at the beginning stages of a relationship, which you might be in right now, is like you're afraid to fart, you know. And when I first start hanging out with a girl, I'm sitting there, and I keep holding in farts, and by the end of it, my stomach is just in shambles and pain. And then it's like that scene in Ted, and like she finally walks away, and you let it out, but it's not good. It's not good for your stomach pains. What point do you guys think it's like safe? It's a safe space where you can just let them go.
Ludwig?
I haven't really been in a long relationship yet, so I don't really know. That's a good question. I don't.
So you're still holding them. You're still holding them in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm at a point now. I'm letting them go. It's good. Yeah. You get it. It's at a certain point, it just clicks, and you're like, you know what? I don't even care. I'm just going to go now. But anyways, onto brighter pastures. Let's move on into another subject.
Sorry, I was just...
Did you have more questions? Time. Sorry, you were just thinking about farting?
I was thinking the first time there. I shit my pants in front of my girlfriend.
You shit your pants?
I've done it in back-to-back relationships now.
That's weird. That's not a common thing.
There's
that's
nothing not, there's worse
no,
than...
There's no stage of a relationship where you're like, now it's okay to shit my pants. That's just like a... There's no stage in life where it's like acceptable.
Well, like to back it up a little bit more, it's like... So like we've broken the fart barrier, right? Like I remember the first time I intentionally, you know, farted in front of a gal. We were on a road trip to Grand Forks. We're driving across the border. We went to Subway and I got Subway guacamole. And I mean, the story kind of tells itself there. You know, we're in the car for 7 hours and things happen. And
they then do.
You get a little bit comfortable. She says, did you fart? I said, yep, I farted. we had the windows down the rest of the trip. Anyway, so you get to the point where you're comfortable farting in front of her.
Uh-huh.
And that comfortability turns into, like, my competitive nature comes out. Like, I want to outdo the last one. You know what I mean? Like I want to make a statement. Let her know that I'm there. And I was cooking dinner. This is my previous girlfriend. Cooking dinner. I can't remember what I was making. She was watching TV right beside me. And I lifted my leg and I farted. Right? She caught her attention. She says, did you fart? I said, yeah. And so she gets up. walks over to me. She farts and she outdoes me. It was louder and more obnoxious probably than mine. So I said, you know, I got to do what any man would do, any, you know, intelligent man. I got to outdo her. And so I pushed real hard and I got about halfway through and I knew what I'd done already because like the legs tightened up, my cheeks clenched and I made a face and she says, did you? Yep. And so I ran my way back to the bathroom and, you know, I wiped down my leg and I kind of changed out the shorts.
Yeah.
Now I'm left with the decision. Like, what do I do with the leftover soiled gitch? Well, so I grab it and I'm holding out like this. If you're on the video version, you see it. I'm holding out like this, kind of like, I don't know. I'm just holding out. I'm kind of like giving her the Tony Heisman, the straight arm. And I walk it outside and I throw it over the fence. And yeah, that was that.
Like a dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're competitive beings as athletes and hockey players. And it doesn't matter what it is. And we're not afraid of failure, you know? So we shoot our shot and we go for it all. And sometimes you fail in the process. And in that case, you failed and you shit your pants. It's similar to like a shift on the ice. When you fail, like if you maybe give a pizza up the middle and then someone scores on you, it's like the equivalent to shitting your pants in a fart competition. Or like if you're on the ice and you get hit and you accidentally pee a little bit, you know, like a little piss trickles out. It's a similar situation, but we're competitive nonetheless. And that's awesome. Speaking of competitive sports, hockey, you're a hockey player, you're a goalie actually, which is,
let's move on.
That's an excellent thing. Division One, as I was looking over your elite prospects, which is a fantastic, website, that's not a sponsor, but if they did want to sponsor us, I'd happily accept. But, I see that you were playing in Sweden, where you're from, for years here, and then you decided to make the move, and your first spot in the States was in the NHL. So I want to know what made you make that decision rather than staying in Sweden, and why the NHL?
He shit his pants in Sweden, and he had to come over to North America. Yeah, he couldn't get away.
I actually thought about college pretty early, around maybe 15, 16. It was kind of a goal for me. Then I played for Frölunda in Gothenburg, which is a really, really good organization. They develop players, and they're a really good spot to play. But I always had that college goal in mind. And it's funny, though, I was really close to sign with the Swedish team when I was done playing for Frölunda. So, but then I got an opportunity to play for Lone Star in the NHL. And I just said, yeah, why not? I mean, Sweden will always be there. So I just went over and played. And then I ended up at Miami. So it was a connection through coach for Frölunda that got me into Lone Star.
How deep into the season did you start getting college interest, and why did you choose Miami?
I would say I committed in December. Beginning of December. So it was like November, December when everything started. And Miami was my first ever college experience. So I went there on my visit and I fell in love right away, I guess, with all the... Yeah, the school, it's a good education spot, which is important for me, as well as hockey. And also, like, opportunity-based, I saw a good opportunity of playing games right away. And to turn a program around is something that really encouraged me, and I like what they had. And it was just a great spot, and I loved it. So it was an easy decision to commit there. I'm happy I did.
I was going to say, what are you doing education-wise? Like, what are you in school for?
I'm a marketing major. I didn't really know before I committed that they had a really good business school, but it was just a plus when I got there. So now I'm a marketing major.
You know, I've noticed, and Pat and I have talked about this privately a lot, is that, like, so many guys in hockey, so many guys, like, especially, like, of our mentality, like, they do business and they do marketing because it's, like, the most, like, you can apply it anywhere. Like, you go to accounting, you can only be an accountant. You know, you want to be a diesel mechanic, you can only work in a diesel mechanic shop. But if you do business, Do it anywhere. Marketing, do it anywhere. It's kind of crazy. Eh? Very common degree.
Yeah, it's very broad, and I'm not a numbers guy either. So for accounting is not the best thing for me, maybe, but it's a good thing for me, I guess.
Do you struggle with accounting and stats, all that kind of stuff, the numbers?
Yeah, it's not my best subject. Six stats, 225, which is not a fun experience this past semester. That's not my best subject.
I've been tough. There.
It's a tough one. You pass it? How many times did it take you to pass?
Me?
Yeah.
225? Yes, you. Now I actually failed this semester.
We've all been there.
it's that.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough.
So I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one.
Did you fail it, Trav? Yeah.
I failed it three times, and then I quit college after that. That was it. I was done after
that. Just because of stats. That makes sense.
The first time I did it, I lasted about a month before I was so far behind the course. I just said, you know what? Let's just cut our losses. Let's focus on the other courses. Okay. Second time, I probably made it about halfway through. Okay. Third time, I was with one of the guys on the hockey team, when I was at VIU, and I made it about three quarters through, and I was right on the cusp. And then the last test before the exam, I think I got like 10%, and then it was over. You know, like we're down five going into the third period. There's no coming back. Yeah. So let's just start the bus. You know,
that's a rough one. I tough. Actually passed it. I got a C. I snuck away with a C.
Wow.
Which I'm a master at. So proud of it. Finance and stuff like that, the very hard classes because of all the equations you have to remember. But also in the, like, if you actually pursue like a finance job, everything's just plugged into a calculator and like a Excel sheet or formula that's already done for you. You don't actually like need to know the equations, which is weird. It's weird that they teach it like that. Just a knock on college again, you know.
Well, you know what the crazy thing is too, is like, I picture, like, if you're like the marketing guy or you're the business guy, right? And you're doing the marketing. If you're going to the accounting meeting, you're not, you know, making a PowerPoint presentation. They have an accounting guy for the accounting. They have a stats guy for the stats. Yeah. The marketing guy don't take care of that. You're just the guy that shows up to the meeting, that you play on your phone, twiddle your thumbs, text your girlfriend back, and then an hour's gone, you're going back to work.
What? Yes. At end of the day, marketing is a fantastic major.
Mm-hmm. In high demand.
So, for hockey, you were saying how you had a opportunity, which obviously goes a long way. I feel like at this level, especially, there's so many good players and like how an opportunity can just make or break someone. And for you, like you went to the NHL versus say like the USHL and you put up like incredible numbers. I'm looking like you had a 1.56 and a 0.932. Which is like, those are great numbers. So you obviously, you stood out. You were kind of like a diamond in the rough, if you will, like in the NHL versus maybe going to USHL, which you could have put up great numbers there too. But do you think that being in the NHL, it kind of made you stand out more because of that opportunity to shine?
Yeah, I think so. The division I played in is pretty like defensive and we had a great team too. So, I mean, they gave me a chance to play games where I didn't really have a bunch of shots and I didn't have to make crazy saves every night. So it's easier to like be consistent and maybe get better numbers because of that. But I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if I played in the USHL, but I think the NHL South, which is where I played, is a very defensive league. So that made it possible for me to get those numbers. And our team obviously was really good.
A stupid question here, but Lone Star, that's in Nebraska, right?
Texas.
Oh, the great state of Texas.
Yeah, it was a culture shock for me.
Okay, I'm curious. Like, I've been to Texas just on the border one time as a guy coming from Sweden to like full on immerse into Texas. Like, what was your experience like living there?
I loved it. But obviously, the first couple months, it was just 180 switch from Sweden. Everything was bigger and it was just a culture shock for me, but at the end of the day I just loved everything about it, and yeah, it was a great experience.
the food, the people, everybody's talking to you. Like, you want to talk about a 180. You go from Sweden where nobody wants to talk to you and everybody says, leave me alone unless you got a coffee to give me, to Texas where everybody wants to talk to you. Hey, partner, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a great Bill family, too. They took care of me, and they were just awesome. So they made it a lot easier for me because I was the only Swedish guy, too, on the team. So it was tough. Like, English wasn't really there, and took a while for me to like adjust and get into everything with language, culture, and food and everything, because I'm a guy that loves being home in Sweden. So it was a transition for me, but after a couple of months it was like second home. So it was,
yeah, sort of. I feel you.
You say your English wasn't as like, it's because right now you can barely tell you have any accent. Like, when you first came over, was it a struggle?
Yeah, it was a struggle. I mean, you go to school in Sweden, you have a couple hours a week where you study, you talk to your classmates, and then you come over, and then an American comes up to you and speaks fluently and then faster, and then you're like, oh my God, shit, slow down, please. But then you just, I don't know, you just get into it, and you, I don't know, it's a cool transition, and you start dreaming and thinking in English, and it's just...
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of...
That is cool. So you, like, your thoughts now, like when you're processing, are like they're in English, not Swedish?
Yeah. I like count in Swedish until I realize at like 25 that I'm counting in English. Then I'm like, okay, maybe I should start counting in Swedish because that's my native language.
That's fine. Because I had a kid from Denmark on my UMaine team, and he spoke perfect English, but he would think in Danish. So like when he had a roommate on the road and he would wake up, he would be dreaming and he would sleep talk and he would yell in Danish. So he'd be screaming some like foreign language to the kid in the room and he's like, what the fuck's going on here? So I think it's funny, like some people definitely still think in their like native language.
Yeah, it's weird how your brain just adapts, I guess. Some people do it full.
Yeah.
Will just keep some of their native language.
That is cool, though.
I'm picturing a Swedish guy coming in down to Texas, coming to Lone Star, moving with the Billet family. English is a little bit broken. Sitting down for dinner. So, where are you from? Sweden. Sverige. Is that by Connecticut, or is that near Canada, or whereabouts is that?
It was funny. I remember that day I came in and I was so tired, and obviously the travel is a bag. It's like 24 hours door to door. And I got in there and then they served me pizza the first night and I was like, okay.
How's the pizza? How's the pizza in Texas?
I would say it's decent. I mean, I don't really eat a lot of pizza, but I would say Swedish pizza is better.
Really? Interesting.
Here's a pizza and a bucket of ranch.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the ranch with pizza, but I've tried it. It's not terrible.
I don't do it. I'm not a ranch with pizza guy. A lot of people are.
My woman's that person.
Yeah,
she has like a side of pizza with her bucket of ranch and just dunks it in. Just, you know.
So, do you have a strict diet then? You said like pizza you don't eat a lot of. Is that just pizza, or is that just as a whole? You have a kind of strict diet.
I would say. Overall, I'm pretty sure that what I eat. I feel like I need good food to be able to perform, and that's a key when I prepare, and I feel that makes me better. So yeah, I would say I'm pretty strict with my diet.
What's your game day meal, pregame?
I mean, I eat what we get served. It's usually pasta, chicken, and some sauce and salad.
Course, the classics, the essentials, obviously.
Lone Star was a pail of chicken, deep fried chicken, and a bucket of cream cheese.
Subway or like a Jimmy John's.
Nice.
That was a shit show.
That's unreal. I've found that goalies a lot of times, just based on like teams, not always, but based on teams I've been on, it's like the goalies a lot of times have more strict diets than the players. Like even the like, goalies we've had on this podcast, it feels like they kind of all have a strict diet plan. I feel like it kind of makes sense in a way because of how you guys play the whole game. You know, like, you don't necessarily control your shifts and when you get a break from it. So it could probably make sense that it'd be more important for a goalie to, like, make sure what they're eating before the game and that they're eating the right things for energy wise, because you're using probably, like, based on what I've seen, like, with, like, how much weight is lost from a goalie, it's like you're using much more energy than a lot of like the players, so it could make sense. Have you ever I don't know how they do it there, but you ever weighed in, like, before and after the game?
Yeah, I sweat a lot, so I can lose around 10 to 13 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
That always amazes me.
Like that.
Goalies, yeah, that was the same thing with the goalies in Maine. They would lose like 10 pounds. Like, that's actually crazy. Like, cutting weight for a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you play back to back. You need to.
Yeah. So what's your process of gaining the weight back to make sure you're ready for the next night?
I drink a lot after the game, and then I just eat a lot of food, even though it's really hard after a game to eat.
Yeah.
For me, it's really hard. I don't really have an appetite after a game, but try to gain it back. And then breakfast the next morning, do the same thing and try to get ready. That's basically all you can do.
So you find it hard to put the weight back on? Like, you find it hard to, like, want to eat after a game?
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard for me to, like, get that appetite and be hungry after a game, because I drink a lot during the game too. So I guess that's the reason for that. Even though I sweat a lot, I drink a lot, so you kind of get full, I guess. But yeah, it's pretty hard for me to eat, so I just try to shove it in there.
Relatable, don't we all?
I feel like that's a person-to-person thing. I've seen that too. Like, some people struggle to have an appetite after the game. Some people have no problem at all. But it is, like, obviously a lot of water weight. So drinking like a Gatorade, even, or I guess now, like, BioSteel or Liquid IV would be healthier. But even still, like, the sugar, like, you talk to nutritionists and whatnot, they're like, yeah, you're like, you athletes, like, that sweat that much have the complete, like, okay to drink Gatorade and sugar, because they have to put it, they sweat so much, they have to put it back in. So I feel like, do you find that it's mostly water weight, where you can just drink a few Gatorades or whatnot, wherever you drink, and on top of the food, and it kind of helps it come back faster?
Yeah probably most fluids. I mean, I drink a lot of BioSteel and Liquid IV, and then my trainer gave me some crazy, like, recovery hydration with like 2,000 milligrams of sodium or something. Nice. Like that. It was a thing that I just drank it, mostly fluids for sure.
Oh yeah. Speaking of weight, are you a big UFC fan? Whether the weight cuts?
Not really. No.
No. Okay. Speaking of that, we'll ask this. I know you said you're a big music guy, though, right? You love music. You love playing guitar.
Me? No, not really. Not really.
I thought you said you're into guitar before we started talking.
You're mixing up people, Trav.
I might be. Too many pucks off the head. You know, the whole the whole him being single when he wasn't went over my head like everything else in my career. So this one is too.
That's all right. It happens, Trav. I've been there. Well, then tell us, what do you do away from hockey? What's your hobbies or whatnot away from the game?
Love to play golf. Pretty standard. Golf, traveling. That's basically it. Kind of into the stock market a little bit.
Nice.
Pretty standard guy, I guess.
Are you a crypto guy?
No.
No. Interesting. I'm not either, but everyone's preaching how it's the future and whatnot. So I was curious if you were in it.
To get into that.
Yeah. So like, the season ends for you. Obviously, people, like, we get excited kind of, like, when the season ends, fine. We get a little break, a little rest on the body. Like, what your go-to, like, when the season ends, like, I'm going to go golf. You golf a lot?
Yeah, I would say that's my go-to. We have two pretty good courses close to campus. So we just drive there, and it's a 10-minute drive. So we just go there and play nine holes every now and then. And then back home in Sweden, I have course 15 minutes from here, so where I can go a lot. So it's nice to get out in like the nature and just
absolutely
come and you can think about anything or just walk around and play, and I like that.
You find that relaxing too, eh?
Very relaxing, yeah, it is. And it's competitive too, and I'm a competitive guy, so I guess that's a good part of it too.
You win a lot with like the boys, like if you go golfing with the guys at Miami, are you one of the top guys?
I had a good end of the year over in the U.S. Played really well. Then I came back here to Sweden, my clubs, and now it's really bad.
Oh. Little change of club can mess someone up big time. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's all in the club, so.
Yeah, you have to blame the clubs. It's not the person.
Yeah.
Same goes with hockey. Always blame the equipment. Always blame the equipment manager, even.
Blame the tools, not the tool man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it or not. There's this viral TikTok I saw probably like a week or so ago. It was, there's this account that just like cuts things in half and it shows what's inside. And they cut this golf ball. It was like one of like the brand new, I guess, 2022 golf balls. I think it was from Nike or TaylorMade. And they cut it in half and it had a million rubber bands inside. And you cut it open, the bands just went, just like started exploding everywhere.
I did not see that. You didn't see it? That sounds intense.
It was pretty, it was good. Like the saw goes through, and the second the saw goes about halfway through, all the bands start to go, just like shooting everywhere. It was kind of, I don't know, I have a short attention span. I like that kind of stuff. I'm also not mentally all there most days, so.
No, you're not, but that's okay.
Makes this podcast great, is that I'm not mentally all there.
No. But yeah, exactly. That's exactly why it's great.
Pat's like, who could have started a podcast with? Somebody who's easy to work with and can take a lot of shit. Oh yeah, Trav. speaking of taking shit, I wanted your true sense on this, Ludwig. This one's a popular one out there in the community. So the Jordan Bennington water bottle thing, throwing a water bottle at Kadri, the whole internet's losing their mind. They're like, how could you let this guy throw water bottles at people? He's such a child. What do you think about that? Curious.
I mean, I don't really know. It's very tense out there. So, I mean, shit happens, I guess. it's a lot going on. So, I mean, maybe you should keep calm, but I mean, stupid shit too. So
I just want to see some video of this. Like the second I heard, I think he just threw a water bottle at me. I thought of McGregor and Diaz when he starts like hurling water bottles from the back. You know what I'm saying? When Diaz is flipping him off and McGregor's throwing bottles and Dana White's like, Connor, no, Connor, stop throwing the bottles.
It's tough. Keep your composure out there. Gets intense. Emotions run high.
Everybody's getting all upset about, you know, grown-ass man throwing water bottles at another grown-ass man. It's like,
whatever.
You know, to see the gas prices, maybe we can worry about that first before we worry about dudes throwing water bottles. You know what I mean? Like, gas went over $2 here the other day, and you're worried about a guy throwing water bottles. Like, come on.
But have you been keeping up with the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think? Who's going to take it?
I think the Avs has a good chance. I thought Carolina were going to beat Rangers, but I guess not.
Yeah, Rangers are looking good.
Yeah, I think they're going to be. It's going to be Tampa, Colorado in the final for sure, and then Colorado will win it.
That was also my pick.
What do you think of Mike Smith, our boy Smitty?
I love him. He he's very entertaining for sure.
He's a flashy guy.
Yeah, I really like Shesterkin though. He's a monster back there. So.
So composed.
Yeah.
Intelligent too. Really intelligent. Like both Vasilevsky and Shesterkin, just their intelligence, their ability to read the play, just smart, athletic guys. Like, I get jealous because, you know, the old saying, I know Ludwig, all due respect, you're a little shorter guy, only 6'1" in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, the old saying that big guys can't move, and I'm a big guy, I can't move. But then you see a guy like Vasilevsky who's 6'4", maybe 6'5" on a good day. And the way that he moves is just like, how? Like, that's just a genetic gift, like how you're able to do that, you know?
Yeah, it's impressive. He, obviously, Vasilevsky, he's one of the best, for sure. And that's going to be a good series.
I forget who said it, but someone just, I saw it on Twitter that they think Vasilevsky is right now the best goalie who's of all time. Someone like made that claim. What are your guys' takes as being goalies?
That's a good one. I don't know if you saw this too. Here's another one for you. They talk about how Chris Osgood had the record for most shutouts in a series clinching opportunity in a career, which he had 5. Yeah. Vasi's got 6 in the last 2 years. Like,
damn,
the debate is up there. Like, what is a money goaltender? I know the entire world shit on me when I said Matt Murray's a money goalie last year because he won 2 cups. By the way, coming on the podcast next week. But what is a money goalie? Is it a shutout in a series clinching game? Is it winning the most cups? Is it winning games but not winning cups? Like what is a money goalie? Ludwig, help me.
I would say that's a pretty good skill to have, to be good when it matters. And obviously, Vasilevskiy is great when it matters. And I saw that too. Yeah, like 200 shots and 1 goal in the last whatever series clinching games, which is...
Damn. That's money goalie right there. I feel like that's the definition.
how you just, you're good when it matters. And obviously you have to be good throughout the season too. But then when it actually matters in the playoffs, that's when
you
really have to step up. And that's what he's doing. So it's just impressive.
He's got the cups to back it up too. So he's
back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought Henrik Lundqvist going like 9-1 or it might be 9-2 in game 7s. Like that's money goaltending because he's getting the wins. But like when you can close them out and you just bury them, no goals, 1 goal in 7 games, like that is the ultimate money goaltending. Am I wrong or am I right?
I'd agree.
Absolutely right.
Like, what more do you want? 0 goals on 200 shots instead of 1.
Yeah.
Hey, something else on playoffs. The Colorado Oilers game, my brother just told me, was the most viewed game since 1999. Like where people were actually excited about the game. And obviously that whole MacKinnon versus McDavid, like I don't know, clashing rivalry, if you want to even call it, helps that. But I feel like people like Colorado and Edmonton specifically, because of those two, when they're like, you know, Makar and Drysdale, like I feel like they are bringing an excitement to hockey that's been missing for a long time. And I feel like the numbers even there showed. What do you guys think on that?
I mean, there are a lot of skilled players on the ice. So, I mean, if you want to watch them good hockey, that's probably where you should start.
Yeah, absolutely. A little 8-7 game, I think it was, right?
Something 8-6, yeah.
8-6.
It's insane.
I feel bad for Smitty, though.
They're good goals, too. It's not just a shit show. It's fun to watch, for sure.
I got a question for you, Ludwig. Obviously, like playing like NCAA, you get like a little bit of media, maybe not as much as the NHL, but and obviously you don't have to mention names or like media corporations and whatnot. But like, does it ever like grind your gears? Like when, like maybe like a broadcaster or somebody like they're posting something online or saying something on the broadcast or critiquing your player, they're critiquing something, and you listen to it back and you're like, bro, like you have no idea what you're talking about. Like I was listening to the Lightning Rangers game last night, and Ray Ferraro was talking about Shesterkin, and he says, so he's sitting in his butterfly in the post and he pushes out and the leg strength is what makes the save. And I'm like, bro, you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't know anything about goaltending. Like, can we just hire somebody who knows what they're talking about?
Yeah, it's as a goalie, that's probably the prime example that when an announcer doesn't really know what he's talking about, commenting a play here or there. I would say that's frustrating sometimes, but then you can get a lot of credit for something simple too. So it's, I think it's like balancing it up a little bit at the end, but that's a good example.
It's like unbelievable glove save, Jim. It was going wide. Oh, it was great control. It's going out the boards, Jim. It's going out the dasher.
So in one game, they like give you credit for everything, and then you let up 2 bad goals, and then you're the worst goalie ever. Yeah. So it's funny.
Yeah. Second goal hasn't even come out of the net. They're like, you got to get him out of there. You got to change the goal. Shake things up. Enough's enough.
I guess that's just part of being like at the level you're at. I guess it's like there's going to be those announcers or just people on social media now, like whether it's Twitter, Instagram, like they're going to be talking and not know what they're talking about. And it's just like you kind of have to block it out, I guess.
It's just, you know, why don't we finish with that, Ludwig? Like, people online, I think it's even easier for like the general public to get a hold of you online. I mean, that's how we got in touch, and you're on the podcast, is that, you know, through Instagram and whatnot. But anybody can get in touch with you. Anybody can at you. They can comment at you. Like, how do you deal with the amount of people that don't know, like, realistically, they don't know shit? Like, let's say, like, you go to an away game. You guys are playing Ohio State. You're playing the Buckeyes. The fans are messaging you, telling you you suck. They're trying to critique your game. Maybe some guy mixes in a nice message. He's like, hey, man, I can fix your glove positioning. It's like... like, you don't know anything. Like, how do you deal with these people online specifically that just don't know shit about hockey?
I've kept my Instagram profile private. And smart. I haven't experienced a lot of that. Obviously, during games, you hear a lot of stuff, but I've been pretty good at just blocking that out. So, I mean, it's more like at the moment you hear shit. I haven't really experienced a lot online, which... it's very good. The things I've experienced has been positive online. So that's, I guess I'm fortunate with that.
That's awesome. Let's keep it positive.
Oh yeah.
Any crazy things in person? I know Portillo, your boy, had a little crazy experience down in, was it Minnesota State, Pat? Or Minnesota Duluth, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was crazy. No, I had one at Denver. They had like a sign about me and told me like your mom said you were in an accident or something. That was just nothing crazy, but I kind of like that, though. It's gets me fired up.
Real original, buddy. Real original. You know what would be nice is if they came up with something like creative, like Ludwig failed his statistics exam last week. Like something like real creative.
Something really specific.
Yeah, like listen, like I know your scores. I saw your SAT last week.
That's unreal.
Good barns we play in, so it's a really good atmosphere every game, so it's just really fun to play every game, home or away. It's just a really good atmosphere and just fires me up.
Hey Ludwig, your credit score sucks.
It is good when you see like the occasional creative sign or chirp from a fan. It's like, it's refreshing. You can't even get mad. You're just like, oh, that was pretty good. But it's rare. A lot of them is just the same thing cycled back again,
like with the Matt Murray and the Civ sign. You gotta appreciate it. No,
I do, but it does make it fun.
And at Western Michigan, they always get after number four on every team for some reason, so they always like look them up online and like say shit about them, and I don't know why. It's just
number four specifically. That's funny.
Yeah, that place is crazy. So it's a fun place to play at.
It seems like all the teams in that division kind of have like a good atmosphere, like good ranks, good atmosphere with the fans. Must be a lot of fun.
Yeah, obviously North Dakota is a different world. We haven't played there yet because here's COVID. We played in a bubble.
Right. We
playoffs, but that was like they had like 25% capacity, and we didn't go there this past year. So we're going there next year. So that'll be
yeah. That looks crazy. Like it's better than, like they get more fans than NHL teams. Like it's wild.
And they're 11,000. It's insane.
Yeah.
Do you ever play there in the North Dakota, Pat?
No, I always wanted to. Unfortunately, we didn't get the chance to. But I've just looked at videos and stuff of it, and it looks insane. So
I don't know if I don't know if the story is really out there too much, but. Or if you guys even know about it. So like the Ralph Engelstead, UND Arena, Ralph Engelstead, big rich guy. This is, I think, back in like the early 2000s. It might have been late 90s. And I believe he was dying. He had like cancer or something. And he said, listen, build me the nicest arena money can buy. Here's the budget. I want the nicest of the nicest stuff. Build it for me. So he passes away. They build the arena. It's got like marble flooring with the Sioux logos, everything. Just from the pictures online, obviously I haven't seen every NCAA Division I hockey arena, but I would say it's probably the nicest arena at the time. Very beautiful. The NCAA comes along, as they always do. The Sioux terminology, the Sioux logo is offensive. We're going to need you to remove it and rebrand the whole team. And the Sioux, I believe the Sioux Cree Nation says, no, we like it. It is a privilege and an honor to be named after, you know, to have the team named after us. And NCAA says, nope, it's racist. Got to get rid of it. So they ripped out all the logos, all the marble, everything out of the arena, out of the concourses, and in my opinion, butchered quite possibly the most beautiful arena in all the NCAA. Still a great atmosphere. Now they're the Fighting Hawks or whatever, but just a shame that you have such a beautiful facility and you decapitate it like that, I guess.
I didn't know that. That's a
fun fact for you.
Interesting that they had to do that, but I guess the world, that's the world we're in. But nonetheless, it's an unbelievable rink from what I've seen, the locker room and whatnot. So
it is unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, why don't we cap this episode with a couple quick little notes? We got some viewers of the week we want to get to.
Sure.
Viewers of the week, we're going to do them at the end. We're going to do them real quick here. We got, if you want to be viewer of the week, it is simple. You message me on Instagram, you send me an email, you leave a comment down in the comment section below. I want to be viewer of the week. Done. We got Anthony Rizzo. He said that apparently my ex-girlfriend's dad coaches him. Shout out to you, buddy. We got Nick Connor said, I'm one of the three people listening on Apple Music. I think we got more than that. Dave Irwin says he listens in the truck. Awesome. We got Tony said, I love hockey and I love his podcast. And we got Isaac Whitley. We got Tony. He said, quote, I got my first kiss listening to one of your videos. How awesome is that? Shout out to Tony.
Romantic.
And then final one for the week that I got. We got Jack. He says, Pavel Barber guzzles mayo for breakfast, like full-fat mayonnaise, like Hellman's mayonnaise for breakfast.
That's weird. How does he know that?
I don't know. I'm curious. We'll have to do some more fact digging on that.
So strange.
But Pat, you said you did not have any viewers of the week?
Yeah, no viewers this week.
Okay, a couple closing notes also. Want to thank Ludwig for coming on the podcast. Also, Patreon members right now, there's a link to sign up down in the description. You're automatically plugged into the viewer special episode for coming up for the end of this month or beginning of July. Basically, come on. We're going to have a conversation with you. If you want to apply for the viewer special episode, we're going to be doing an Instagram post sometime soon about that. When? I don't know. But as always, it is a pleasure to have you here. We're going to do new episodes every Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern. We do it midnight in China, 8 a.m. in Vancouver. The time zones are all over the place, and so are we. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Ludwig, Pat, closing comments before we cap off the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, man. It's been nice chatting.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
And we'll see you next Sunday.
Yes.
Podcast programming.
See you then.